Originally, the deacon was preaching, but we traded so that he could have a little more time in Idaho with his family, so that's where he is this weekend, which is a good thing. And also, well, it's good for him. That didn't come out right, did it? No, I mean, if you're going to go all the way to Idaho, it's good to spend more than 2 days there, I think, right? I find the Lord speaks a lot through small things in my life. And if you notice when he's preaching, he points out small things in everyday life that point to God. One day, from this reading, people will be so untuned to God and so deaf, dumb, and blind to what God is doing that he will have to actually pierce the heavens with great signs and wonders and people dying of fright for what's coming on the world. It's the only way he can get their attention in those days. So, but the Lord prefers for his friends, which hopefully includes us, to speak in more subtle ways, you know. And so I told somebody I was going to mention this in my homily. It was kind of an interesting thing. You know, I've always had bad eyesight. I don't know how many of you remember when you got your first pair of glasses, but I was 8 years old. I don't know how it took so long to discover I needed glasses because I'm really quite, you know, I've got a very bad myopia. And my parents, we were driving through Akron where we lived, and they noticed I couldn't read the freeway signs. I was 8 years old. So we went in and got these rather thick glasses, and the world was completely different. And suddenly I could see. I can't tell you, I can still remember seeing things clearly for the first time in my life. I do think in many ways, when we realize what's really going on in the world, we put on a pair of glasses and see, and things start to click in place. And that's really what the scriptures are all about. Yes, we can't see the world of the future yet. We're not allowed to. It would ruin the present if we could see too much. We have to be somewhat ignorant. It's so we can have a free choice for God or against God. He won't reveal the whole thing to us until the very end. Otherwise, the test is over. But we can see so much if we begin to see God speaking everywhere in life. The more we pray, the more we see. It's just like when we go to reconciliation, which is a really good thing to do in the next 4 weeks, if we have any need of that. There'll be a lot of opportunities. We begin to see more about what pleases God and what we perhaps need to work on. And Advent is a new beginning, so we're asking ourselves, what does God want? What's the project God and I are going to be working on in the midst of all the busyness that many of us are going to go through in the next 4 weeks? As I've said, I've always had bad eyes and hasn't gotten any better over the years, you know, with my detached retina that I had and stuff. But I noticed I was coming in the house and it seemed like, I don't know, for some reason, I didn't realize it at first, but things seemed to be a little bit darker and darker. And then one day I came in and the kitchen seemed so dark, I thought, oh, it's the beginning of the end, you know. Obviously there was a bulb out in the kitchen, you know, but I have one of these big fluorescent things that it's not really obvious that there's even tubes in this thing. And they're kind of a yellowish color. And so it was just really dark in there. And it occurred to me that there was a bulb out finally after a few days of wondering what was going on when I went in there. And I know it's kind of probably advancing mental problems as well to not figure that out. But so I called Jim, and we have to find some bulbs around here to save some money. So he came over and opened that up and brought a bulb over. I said, there's a bulb out up there. Well, there were three bulbs out. I was down to one cylinder in that thing, you know. So what I found interesting about the reason I say that's a spiritual experience is because one by one, those bulbs went out, and I did not notice until it was nearly completely dark in that room. You know, when the first one went out, it was so subtle, you don't notice. Then another, and then another. And there's a lesson in that, I think. If we aren't taking care of our marriage or our friendships, one bulb after the other is going to go out. We may not notice it until it's gone. or something has died. If same with our health, the same with our spiritual life. And Advent is one of those opportunities, a very inconvenient one, with all that many of us have to do and obligations that we can't get out of. A lot of us would probably like to ditch some of the things that we have to do. They're fun, but, you know, if you haven't gotten your presents yet and things, you know, it can be a real hassle. But somewhere in the midst of these 4 weeks, we have to find God as well. Because Advent really isn't about shopping and cards and parties. It's really about God. And so we can sanctify what we're doing without necessarily adding a big burden to your lives. Some people are very lonely at this time of year, but that can be sanctified as well. God wants to be a bigger part of that emptiness that some feel because they've lost a loved one this year or whatever, or they can't get home. You know, as I mentioned, the deacon, fortunately, he lives close enough to go home. And the weather cooperated, you know. To be here, I spent a couple of Thanksgivings up at the seminary instead of going home when I had relatives in L.A. in those days. And it was, you know, you feel that sense of loss. But there's a spiritual longing that comes with that that is kind of a good thing, you know, because none of us are really home. But so I think, you know, in thinking about the bulbs this week, I thought kind of a bulb went on in my own head. And by the way, they were those four really warm bulbs were replaced with four Kmart-type bulbs. I thought it was so bright in there, I had to get sunglasses. You know, I wasn't used to seeing the light. We took two of them out. And you know what it did, though? The kitchen needed cleaning when I put those lights on. I thought, thanks a lot. You know, now I've got guests coming, and I've got to get in there and clean the cabinets because they're all, well, they were white at one time. Isn't that a metaphor for the soul? What happens when God suddenly turns the light on and we see something that we would rather not? You know, it's Black Friday. A few of you I know got up very early and went shopping. I think you're nuts. But, you know, I mean, you got to get your presents done sometime. If you're going to make a good deal and you're having fun, that's fine. But what is most of our, you know, with a church attendance rate in Oregon at somewhere around 20 or 25%, you know, a lot of people, for Christmas, that's it? That's what Christmas is all about. Isn't that sad? Just buying things that, you know, nobody finds happiness in created things. It's a moving target, and it never ends. This year's hot thing is next year's trash, and that just isn't the answer. I mean, we all have fun shopping to some extent. But I mean, the real issue is, what makes life meaningful and what is God asking me to do this Advent? It's not Lent. It's not on that same level. But there's still that sense of a spiritual longing. One of the ways that is a really good thing for Advent is really, how self-centered am I? Is anything I'm doing for Advent, how much am I doing for Advent that is for others? When I'm looking for gifts, am I really and truly looking for something that they want? Or am I looking for something that I want, especially if I'm married and hope to borrow it the minute the person gets it, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, that's kind of crass, but I mean, there's a lot of ways in which we can very subtly or in very simple ways think of others. And there's opportunities around here as well. In the midst of it all, being kind to people when we're stressed, whether on the road or in line or you know, whatever it is, just making that extra effort to be patient in a very impatient 4 weeks. There's a lot of things that we can do that kind of gets that self-centeredness out of us. And that really is the spirit of Advent. Advent is kind of a longing for God, a making room for God. The Lord has really all the traditions we build up around Christmas really have more to do with retailing than they do with the Son of God. But having said that, there is a certain holiness that can be attached to it if we're really doing it for others out of love, you know. And you know, let's face it, Christmas and Thanksgiving are both family days. That's what's really important about these things. And with Christmas, what we're hoping for is that we want Jesus to be a part of the family. So in the midst of all of my column this week, in the midst of all that we have to do, or in the midst of what people we miss, make sure that Jesus has an invitation on Christmas. He doesn't have an invitation to many people that celebrate it. He's not welcome. He's not invited. He's not unknown, you know, doesn't know where the address is, I guess. But Jesus wants an invitation, and you know, and he wants to accompany us in Advent. There are bulbs that have gone out in your life. Perhaps one of the ways that the bulbs start to go out is when prayer starts to die. You know, we have time for a lot of things in these next 4 weeks, but, you know, we can pray in the car. We can pray before meals. We can pray a little bit of extra time before Mass. We can pray, might pop into the Adoration Chapel once in a while. Doesn't have to be a huge amount of time. Can I take the Advent book that we hopefully have out? If we don't, we should have it out. We do have it out. And just read that little vignette. They're very short. That's by definition. What can we do? Just a little spiritual thought to take with me during the day. For each person, it's different. I'm asking myself where some of the bulbs went out this year that I need to replace, that God wishes to renew. Advent is a spiritual journey. Life is a spiritual journey. We're here to learn something. The thing we get, the church in her wisdom gives us this reading to begin Advent with, and in some ways it's a really good reading. He warns us. Remember, he's writing 2,000 years ago. Christmas Day hadn't been invented yet, in the sense that the solemnity hadn't come into the church yet. The apostles are writing this some years later, and they're already beginning to celebrate many of the feasts that we do, Pentecost, Easter. But he says, "Beware that your hearts don't become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life." Sounds like Advent, doesn't it? A little bit. Don't let that be the focus of Advent. A little is great. A lot is tough. And then that day is going to catch you by surprise because you're not ready. And then he goes on to point out what he's talking about is not only the end of the world, but also that God is going to come in a surprising way. And if I'm not present to God, I'm going to miss it. It may be that person in need in my family that wanted your ear, and I'm focusing on you know, giving things to others, which is a really important thing, the giving tree and things, but maybe somebody in my family needed my time, and I didn't have time for them. Maybe God wanted you to say a few things to him, and I didn't have time for him. But the people of the last day, and Christ is pointing this out to point out to us, don't become this obtuse. Excuse me, they're going to be living on the face of the earth. And something is going to happen that's going to assault the entire world and remind them that they are creatures, that they are dependent on this earth. The people of that day will be very aware of space. You know, they'd probably be in space travel by then, but they will know that we are one world. They may think that they have control of everything because of science, and yet something's going to come along that they have no control over. And it's going to cause fear in every nation on earth, because it's God waking them up. You are dependent beings. You are dependent on me for your life, not yourselves. Like, including not coughing. You are dependent on me. Sometimes God, the only way he can get through to us, it's also in this reading, my last point, is that if he can't get through with subtle means, like light bulbs, he may keep ratcheting up the message until there's nothing left but severe tribulations. And sometimes God speaks through those, a major illness, a death in the family, a financial crisis, a national crisis, all these things that come up, God permits, because it's the only way to get through to us. Yes, he could put his hand through the clouds. He could send you the archangel Gabriel. He's done that a few times. But that would blow the whole test. That would blow the whole meaning of life. You would lose your free will. We lose every grace that we have while we're on earth, which is immense. If God makes it too clear that he exists, or makes it too clear what he wants us to do, we have to find it. And Advent is a time of searching in the midst of all this shopping and busyness and carousing, or that's probably a bad word to use, having fun and enjoying life and hopefully finding God in the midst of it all. We also are on a journey, and Christmas, these 4 weeks, are meant to be a sign to us, and we have to get the message. We only have so many of these, and then it's over, and it's over forever. So this is a very precious time, and it, you know, of course, it leads to the family, the Holy Family, and our family, and both of those are really critical. That's and friends, and this is where God is leading us in these 4 weeks, and primarily to His family. He's inviting us into His family. He says, "If you keep my word, you are my brother, and my sister, and my mother." And so He wants to invite us into His family for Christmas. So this is what we're preparing for. I would invite you, like I am doing right now, is to look at where the bulbs might have gone out and you didn't notice in your life. Maybe God's calling you to put a new bulb in somewhere in this whole process of life, and ask God to make us more and more aware of His speaking to us, so that He won't need to speak to us through these major events, but that we will be hearing Him constantly in the circumstances of our daily lives this Advent.